Christian Fellowship. If this is your first time with us, we give you a warm welcome in Jesus' name. We're going to worship the Lord together this morning. We're gathering here in Chippenham, but wherever you are, in your homes or wherever you are worshiping, join in with us this morning as we lift up the name of Jesus and as we magnify the name of the Lord our God this morning. So let's just give him praise and glory and honor. Let's pray together and let's bless the Lord. Father, we just want to thank you for bringing us together this morning. Thank you for all those who are listening. Thank you that we can worship together, that we can bless your name, Father, that we can give you praise, we can give you glory, we can give you honor. And so we welcome your presence into our hearts, Lord. We welcome your presence into our homes. We welcome your presence, the presence of Jesus Christ, into our lives. We pray that you might be glorified in this service this morning, that you might be glorified in our worship, Lord, that we will please you in every way, that, Father, you will just come and bless the people of God. Bless everyone who's listening today. Bless them with your presence, Lord. Father, we just pray you'll strengthen us in our faith. Strengthen and encourage us today. Father, we just give you the praise, the honor, the glory, and the worship, Lord Jesus. We bless your name, and we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you are a good God, you are a loving God, and we come into your presence in the name of Jesus, and we thank you that you welcome us in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we lift you up today, Lord, and thank you for your blessings upon us in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to start with a Bible reading this morning, which is found in the book of Romans. So Romans chapter 8, and this will be our text for today. So I'm just going to look at Romans 8 and verse 28. So if you're following with us in your Bibles, or you just want to listen along, I just want to read these verses to you. So it's called More Than Conquerors. Romans 8, 28 says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things?" So, praise God for his word this morning. The Bible tells us that, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. We're going to take a look this morning at this passage. We're going to take a look at this concept that all things work together for the good of those who love God. And so that's important for us to realize this morning that, you know, if God is working on our behalf, it doesn't matter whether we're in the midst of a pandemic, whether we're on top of the mountain or right in the midst of the valley, God is still going to work. And I believe that God is really working in our world today, even in the midst of this lockdown, even in the midst of the situation we're in. We know that God is still working in the shadows. He's still working in the secret place. He's still working all around us. In fact, the Bible says in Acts chapter 17, he is not far from any one of us. He is right here with us. But the promise here is a conditional promise. And God is saying that if we love him, all things are going to work together for our good. And that is the promise of God, is that we've got to love him. And as we love him, things are going to work well in our lives. And so we can take this promise, we can apply it to our lives. We can say, "Lord, I love you, and I'm respecting this word you've given me. You said in your word that if I love you, all things are going to work together. Right now, it doesn't seem that things are working together very well. It doesn't seem like amazing things are happening, but that doesn't mean that, you know, good things aren't around the corner. Doesn't mean that God has stopped working.
just like a farmer when he plants the seed, and underneath the ground there is no activity at all. There is nothing that you can see, but that seed is beginning to germinate. That seed is beginning to grow. That seed is beginning to flourish and begin to send out roots right there under the soil. It's beginning to penetrate through the soil, and something is taking place. A miracle is taking place under the soil. And eventually, after a month or 2 months or 3 months or however long that seed takes, it begins to shoot up and it begins to grow, and you begin to see what's happening really on the surface now from what's been happening underneath. And this is how God works. He works through our prayers. He works in the silent place. He works in places where we don't realize and think, well, where is God in the midst of this pandemic? Where is God in the midst of this crisis? You know, how can God be right here with us when there are deaths going on and there is tragedy and there's... I promise you, friends, God is at work in our world. And we've just got to align ourselves with him, get into line with his word, and we've got to follow the words of Jesus. Now, this is what Jesus said in Matthew 22, 37. Okay, these are the words of Jesus, probably the most powerful words you'll ever hear. He said, you know, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your soul. Jesus is telling us this is the greatest commandment. This is the most important principle of the universe. That's right. Jesus is telling us if you want things to go well with your life, you've got to love God. Haven't we squeezed God out of our lives? Haven't we squeezed God out of our schools, out of our society? Haven't we squeezed God out of the workplace? Haven't we just pushed him to the side, said, we don't need God, we play God ourselves? We pushed him out, we pushed him to the side, he's no longer Lord, we are Lord, we're in charge, we think we're it, we think that we're fine without God. We cannot leave God out, friends. We have to invite him into our lives. We have to invite him into our hearts. We have to invite him into our world. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman. The Holy Spirit is like a dove. He could be easily scared out of your life, or he could be easily welcomed into your life. We've got to invite God back into our community, back into our churches, back into our hearts, back into our lives, and get in line with what Jesus said, is that we've got to love God with all our hearts, with all our mind, and with all our soul, with everything. This is greater than the greatest education. This is greater than all the riches of the world. Is if God could find somebody who really loves him and follows him and serves him, that would be so pleasing to God, and it would be so good for you and for us as individuals to welcome God and to love him with all our hearts, with all the distractions, with all the things that are going on in our world. If we could just invite God back into our world and say, we want you, Lord Jesus. We want you, God. We want you to be in our communities. We welcome you. And it was amazing to listen to a youth crusade, a youth worship time, and a celebration in Brazil, where the Prime Minister of Brazil said, we give our nation back to you, Lord. We welcome you as Lord of this nation. Isn't that incredible that the leader of the nation would say, Lord, you're welcome in our nation? And I pray that that will happen in our nation one day, that Jesus Christ will be publicly welcomed into our nation. But he also needs to be welcomed into our hearts, into our communities, into our lives. Why do we not want to talk about God? Why do people say, you know, oh, well, we don't want to talk about the elephant in the room. We don't want to talk about the God thing. But God is the most important person in the world. He is the creator of the ends of the earth. He made you and me. He caused you to exist, not just physically, but also the Bible says he breathed into you the breath of life. He's given you your soul and your spirit. The reason you exist today is because Jesus Christ wants you to be here. Now, he's given us a choice. He's given us a choice to either serve him or to reject him. Jesus wants us, as he said in this word, he said, if you want to follow me, you got to pick up your cross. You've got to deny yourself and you've got to start following me. Serving God and following God means denying self, saying goodbye to you, saying goodbye to your desires and your passions, inviting Christ into your life as Lord and Savior so that he can be in charge of your life. And I promise you, God will enrich your life in every way. Jesus said, I have come to give you life and life in abundance. That's why he came, to give you life in all its fullness. He's come to enrich your soul, your spirit, your mind, your body. He's come to enrich your social life. He's come to enrich your heart. So the Bible says, those who love you, Lord, may their hearts live. There are many depressed people today. There are many discouraged people today. There are many people in our world without hope because they are without God. When you get God into your heart, you get hope, you get life, you get freshness, you get vitality. He comes to revive you. He comes to open your eyes. He comes to bless your life. He comes to bless your family. He comes to enrich you in every way. And we see this in the life of Joshua, because Joshua became the leader of the Israelites. He was Moses' aide, and he took over from Moses when Moses died, and he took the Israelites into the promised land. He was a warrior. He was a military commander. He was a general in God's army. And they took over that region in Israel today by the power of God, even though there were nations mightier than them, even though there were giants in the land, God went before them and they overcame them, because those nations were wicked nations and they were doing wicked things. And so Joshua went in, and he went in to possess the land. And at the very end, when they had possessed and they'd come into the land, they're beginning to settle in the land. This is what Joshua said to them. I'm going to read to you from the book of Joshua. So Joshua speaking to all the Israelites, and this is what he says in Joshua chapter 24 and verse 14. This is what he says. Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your forefathers worshipped beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your fathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. They are the famous words of Joshua, the leader of the Israelites. He said, as for me and my household, we're going to serve the Lord. I want to say this morning, as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. Friends, this is the greatest thing, is to serve the Lord. This is your highest calling, is to put God first in your life. Make him number one in your life. Jesus Christ is not an add-on. He's not an addition to whatever we have. Well, I've got my life, I've got my house, I've got my job, I've got my family, and I've got a little bit of Jesus. It doesn't work like that. God has got to be big in your heart. He's got to be enlarged in your heart. He's got to be number one. He's got to be Lord of all. Otherwise, he's not Lord at all. He's got to be king in your heart. You've got to invite him in. As Jesus said, if we're going to follow him, we've got to deny ourselves. We've got to pick up our cross. Jesus himself, the Son of God, picked up his cross. In fact, he was so broken and so weak, he couldn't even carry it to the place where he was going to be crucified. But this represents self-sacrifice. Jesus himself, the Son of God, was prepared to lay down his life for you. He was prepared to be crucified for you. He was prepared to take your place on the cross. He was crucified to take your sins, my sins, and the sins of the world upon himself so that you could go free. And the Bible says in Galatians chapter 5, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. He came to set you free from sins, habitual sins. He came to set you free from things that bind you, from things that distress you, from things that afflict you and torment you. Jesus came to set you free from yourself. We've got to be set free from ourselves. Only God can help us to get set free. Only he can release the burden that's on you. Only he can take away the distress and the depression and the sadness that's in your heart. Even though you smile and you say everything's fine. And so many people do that. But deep down inside, they're not happy. They're not full of joy. Jesus said, if you follow me, you will be filled with joy. And thank God for the joy he brings to us. But there are many people who have never experienced the love of God. There are many people who have never experienced the joy of the Lord. There are many people who have never had the peace of God. And it's because they've never had the Lord in their lives. And so we need to invite God right into our hearts. We've got to pick up our cross and say, Lord, I'm going to follow you. Like Joshua said, as for me and my household, we are going to serve the Lord. Friends, this is the greatest thing. This is hope for this life and hope for the next life. Jesus gives us hope now, but he also gives us hope for eternity. He goes to prepare a place for us in eternity. But even here and now, we can know the peace of God, and the love of God, and the blessing of the Lord. You know, so many people say, well, I'm a good person, and I've never murdered anybody, and I'm a good person, and I do good deeds, and I'm a good person, and I help my family, and I help my neighbors. You know what the Bible says about that? There is none good, not even one person. None of us can boast and say, I'm a good person. As soon as we do, we realize, I probably told a lie. I probably said some nasty things. I've probably lusted like everybody else. I've probably become proud. And suddenly we begin to list our sins and realize, hang on a minute, I'm not good. Is there anybody good? Even Jesus said, there is none good except God himself. So how will we get into a perfect heaven, into a good heaven, if we ourselves are not good? Friends, we've got to be cleansed from our sins. We have got to be purified. We've got to have Jesus come in and wash our hearts. And the Bible says the blood of Jesus will wash all your sins away. The Bible says the blood of Jesus will free you from your sins. Revelation 1, 7 says he has freed us, delivered us, set us free from our sins by his blood. And so as we apply the blood of Christ to our life, when we realize that Christ was crucified on the cross, he died on the cross, he was crucified, and his blood was shed to wash our sins away. We have to apply the blood if we want to be clean. To quote the famous evangelist Reinhard Bonnke, unless you use the soap, you can't wash the dirt off your life. It's the same for inside your heart, inside your soul. Unless you apply the blood of Jesus, you cannot be clean on the inside. Only God can clean your cup. Only God can cleanse your heart. Only God can purify you. So we invite the Lord to purify our thoughts, purify our heart, so we will be made acceptable in the presence of God. Do you want to be made acceptable in the presence of God? Then you have to apply the blood of Christ to your life. Invite God in and start following him. Because what does the Bible say? That all things will work together for your good if you love God. And so how do we love God? There's a number of principles. There's a number of things that we've got to follow. How do we love God? How do we receive him? Well, we say, first and foremost, we've got to believe in him. Well, yeah, you say, I believe in him. The Bible says the devil believes in God. The demons believe in God and they tremble. But this word believe means to cling to put your trust in, to begin to follow and have a personal relationship with. So we need to believe in God in a very deep way, in a very meaningful way, and start to follow him. Also, the Bible says we need to have faith. Jesus said, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Every one of us has been given a measure of faith. There's two things in our world that speak of the reality of God. Listen carefully. There's two things that speak of the reality of God. One is our conscience, and two is the creation. When we look at creation, we look at the perfection of the trees, the planets, the flowers, and the beauty of the world. We see this didn't just explode one day. This didn't just appear. There's too much perfection. There's too much order. There's too much structure. There's winter. There's summer. There's autumn. There's spring. And the structure of our world. There is seed time and harvest. We see the hand of God at work in our world. Nobody can deny, even from their conscience, that God is there. He is the unseen, invisible person at work in our world. And by faith, we reach out to him. By faith, we touch him. We receive him and we welcome him into our life. We receive God. We welcome him. To as many as received him, he gave the right to become the sons of God and the children of God. So if we receive him into our lives, we will be changed. But not only do we need to believe, not only do we need to have faith, we also need to repent of our sins. That is for everybody on the planet. That includes me and you and everybody. Jesus came with a powerful message. It was a really straightforward black and white message. It was, if you don't repent, you're going to perish. Wow, pretty serious message. I thought God was a God of love. Yes, he is, but he doesn't love everything. He doesn't love sin. He doesn't love murder. He doesn't love hatred. He is a God of love, and he says to us, I command you to repent of your sins. What does that mean? It means turn away from your sins. It means you've got to reject your sins. You've got to turn away with an abhorrence for your sins. Say, Lord, forgive me. Get these sins out of my heart. Wash me in the blood and make me a child of God. And I'll no longer have a sinful nature. And I'll start living for you and serving you. And I'll follow you for all eternity. Can you say amen? Yes, I want to receive God. Yes, I want to repent of my sins. Yes, I want to turn away from all unrighteousness, from all filth, from all uncleanness, from all that is faulty and is wrong in my life, and invite God in to heal my heart, to restore me and make me clean and sanctified. That means to be purified by the power of the Holy Spirit. And he will make you clean. He will make you acceptable. And you will stand before God and he will see you as his son. He will see Jesus Christ in you and you will become acceptable to God. And he will turn your sins away. He will wash them away and he will welcome you into his family. Now listen to this important thing for a minute. It's the story of the prodigal son. Many of you may know this story where there were two sons, and the father and the mother, and the younger son decided, I'm going to run away with my part of the inheritance. I'm going to squander everything I have on prostitutes and wild living. I'm just going to go and live it up. And then one day, the Bible says that he ran out of everything and he couldn't even eat. He was starving. He'd spent everything. He spent his inheritance. He'd been foolish and he'd gone and spent a lot. And then he's feeding the pigs one day, and then he realizes, what am I doing here? I can't even eat this pig food. I'm feeding the pigs, and look at my own home. Look at my house at home. My dad has got plenty of food. My house, there's plenty of good food and plenty of acceptance. What am I doing here? And the Bible says he came to his senses. He woke up and realized, what am I doing away from God? What am I doing away from my family? What am I doing out here in this distant land feeding the pigs? This is filth. This is horrible. This is not what I was designed to be. And he said he came to himself. He came to his senses and he decided, I'm going to go home And maybe my father will receive me. Maybe my family will accept me back. And you know what the Bible says is the one of the most wonderful, most beautiful picture of love. It says that the Father was already standing, waiting at the gate, waiting for his son, looking over the fields. I wonder, is today the day when my son will come home? God wants you to come home, friend. God wants you to come into his family. The greatest thing in the world is to love God and to serve God and to follow him. He wants you to be invited in. And there was the father welcoming the son. And he embraced his son. And the Bible says he fell on his neck. They embraced. They hugged. He put a ring on his finger. He put a beautiful garment on him. Here is my son who was lost. And now he is found. And friends, you could be lost as anything. You could be far away from God. You could be far away from your family. You could be in a place of sin. But I want to tell you today, friends, God's arms are open wide. He wants to welcome you in. God's heart is beating towards you. He said, come into my family. Come home. Come and I will receive you. And I will forgive all your sins. Even though you spent the inheritance, I still love you. I still love you. And God still loves humanity today, friends. He does not want anybody to perish. He does not want anybody to be lost. The Bible says God is not willing that anybody should go to hell, that anybody should go to a lost eternity. God wants heaven to be full. He wants heaven to be packed with people who love him and are going to serve him. And so, friends, we need to believe in God. We need to have faith in God. We need to repent of our sins and turn away from our sins. And we need to run towards God and allow him to welcome us into his family. The Bible says, though your sins are as red as scarlet, they will be as white as snow. Though you have terrible stains in your heart, even though you've done terrible things, God will forgive you for every sin. He'll wipe them out and he'll accept you into his family, and you will become the beloved of God. You will become a child of God. You'll be accepted in the kingdom of God. He wants you in his family today, friends. Come and run to God and start to serve him. Give him your heart. Give him your life. Surrender to the Lord. Say, Lord, I am no longer going to live for myself. I'm going to live for you, and I'm going to serve you, and I'm going to follow you. You know, there was a man in the Bible called King Nebuchadnezzar, and he was haughty. He was proud. He was the greatest leader on the earth. He was in charge of the Babylonian kingdom. He was a mighty guy. And the Bible says he became proud and uplifted in his heart. And he thought, you know, is it not because of me and my great kingdom that I've done all these amazing things? Look at this wonderful kingdom that I made. Look at this world that I made. And the Bible says that God was so displeased with him because of his pride and his arrogance. You know what happened? He went into the fields and he lived like an animal. And he had feathers on him like a bird. And he ate the grass. This is incredible to think that this king, who was so mighty, and now he's like an animal. And for 7 years, the Bible says he lived like an animal until sanity was restored to him, because he lost his mind. You know, many people losing their minds today. They're trying to do life without God. They're trying to do life without Jesus. You were never designed to do life without God. We need to welcome him back. And King Nebuchadnezzar, even though he was acting like an animal, even though he was insane, even though he's eating grass like an animal, he came to himself and he woke up and he realized, what am I doing here? Why am I here? And he acknowledged the Most High. Friends, the time that comes in your life where you acknowledge the Most High and you say, Lord, forgive me. I've come to myself. I realize that life without you is not. Life without you is nothing. It's fruitless to go through life without Jesus and to go into eternity without Jesus. We need to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. And Nebuchadnezzar acknowledged who God was. And he had a great statement. The Bible says that he began to declare, there's nobody like the Most High. There's nobody like Yahweh. There's no God like our God. And he acknowledged God in his life, even though he was so proud and so mighty, probably the greatest ruler of his day. But he became like an animal. Friends, we have to acknowledge God in our lives. We have to invite him in and say, Lord Jesus, I want everything to go well with my life. I want to serve you. I want you to be number one in my life. As the Bible says, that all things will work together for your good. Even in the midst of this virus, even in the midst of this lockdown, God will be working on your behalf. He'll be flowing through you. He'll be working in your life. But the first thing is, you've got to invite him in. You've got to make him Lord of your life. He's got to become king of your heart and king of your life. You know, I often think about the story of Pinocchio and his creator, Geppetto, who was the great craftsman. He was a carpenter, and he started to make Pinocchio. And of course, it's just a fable, it's just a story. But as Pinocchio is being born, he started, even when he's carving his feet out, he's starting to kick his owner, and his nose is beginning to grow, and you know, he's becoming a living doll, he's becoming a live puppet. And he rebels and actually runs away from his owner. Isn't that just a picture of us as humanity? You know, we get created, and it's like we turn around to our creator and say, we don't want you. We don't want to know you. We start kicking against God, and we start spitting at him and say, we don't want to know you, is what they shouted to Jesus. Crucify him. Crucify him. We don't want this savior. We don't want this man in our midst, this guy who opens the eyes of the blind, who raises people from the dead. We don't want him in our nation. Let's get rid of him. Let's crucify him. Haven't we become like Geppetto? Geppetto's puppet, Pinocchio, where Pinocchio's just kicking against him and lying and cheating and stealing and just rebelling. And the Bible says we all like sheep have gone astray, each to his own way. But the Lord has laid on Jesus the iniquity of us all. There is Jesus with being crucified with our iniquities. That is our twisted nature. That is all our kicking, all our spitting, all our evil nature. Is Jesus takes the sin of the world. He's crucified, and he takes your sin, your sinful nature. He takes that twisted nature. So Jacob, who's known as the twister, he becomes Israel. And God changes his heart because he wrestles with God. And he who was a twister became a prince with God, which is what Israel means. And friends, I want to say to you today, God wants to change your heart. He wants to change your life. But there's those things that we have to do. We have to believe in God. We have to put our faith in the Lord. We have to repent of our sins. That's, we've got to turn away from our sins. And we've got to start following Jesus and start loving God. Friends, this is the only way forward for humanity. We're looking for answers right now. All our top scientists are trying to find an answer to this pandemic, to try and find an antivirus to this COVID-19. Nothing's happening. It seems to be going on and on and on. And maybe at this point in time, God is just trying to get our attention. He said, look, you can't do life without me. You shouldn't do life without me. I am your creator, and I am the person who's going to make the difference in your life. I want to leave these few words with you this morning, because as we realize that Pinocchio is kicking against his creator, he's kicking against his craftsman. Very often we've done that. We've kicked against God. Say, I'm not going to follow you. I just want to do my own thing. But we've got to repent and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Please come into my life. Jesus Christ is not only our Savior, but he is our creator. He is our sustainer. He is our life giver. He's the eternal God. He is immortal. He is invisible, the only wise God. He is immutable. He is transcendent and divine. He is the Savior of the world. Friends, when you get Jesus, you get everything. When you've got Christ, you get the world. When you get Christ, you get God's world. You get the abundance of heaven on your side. When you get Jesus, you know, when you sit down for a meal, you don't just want to have the side salad and the little bit of bread. You want to have the main course. Jesus is the main course. He is everything that you ever desired in a beautiful meal. But I'm talking about your heart now. He will feed your heart. He's the main course. He is not something that is on the side. He is not something that we just think about. You know, in our nation today, we have 5% who go to church, and yet 64% say that they're Christian. Well, let us prove our Christianity by our lifestyle. Let's bear fruit with repentance, and let's really be the real thing that God has called us to be. So I'm inviting you today, friends, to invite God into your life, to become a son of God. The Bible says when you do that, old things will pass away and new things will be given to you. God will give you fresh eyes, fresh ears, fresh vision. He will do a new work in your life and you'll become a child of God. You will know the blessing of the Lord. So many people have testified when they invited Christ in, what joy filled their lives, what blessing came upon them, what goodness came upon them. God doesn't just want to be an added extra. He wants to be the main thing. He wants to be the Lord of all. He wants to be king of your heart. Invite Christ in. He is Lord of the universe. This beautiful Savior, this beautiful God who created you and created everything around you, wants to come in and be your friend. And to fellowship with you. The Bible says that God is knocking on the door of your heart. Will you let him in today? Will you invite Jesus Christ in as your Lord and Savior? You'll see the difference, my friend. You'll know the joy, and you'll know the love, and you'll know the peace of God. Just receive Christ as Lord and Savior. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you today that you are very near us, that you are very real, that you are with each one of us, Lord, and you are welcome into our heart today, Lord. You are welcome in our lives. We don't want to push you out, Lord. We don't want to squeeze you out of our world. We don't want to squeeze you out of our conversation. We want you to be part of our lives, part of our conversation, part of our world. Lord, you came into our world so that one day we could go to be in your world. So Jesus, thank you for everybody who's listening today. And I pray, Father, today will be the day where we say yes to Jesus and no to sin. Where we say yes to Jesus and no to self. Where we say yes to Jesus and receive all the blessings, all the goodness of God. I pray the blessing of the Lord upon you, wherever you are. Just pray the blessing of Jesus Christ upon your life, that you would just invite him into your heart. Ask him to cleanse your heart. Say, Lord, I do believe in you, but help me to believe. Help me to follow you. Help me to serve you. Help me to be the person that you want me to be. Lord, I invite you into my heart in Jesus' name. Friends, if you have made that prayer today, please get in contact with us so that we can encourage you and say, yes, I said that prayer today. I invited Christ into my life. We want to share your joy. We want to share the blessings with you so you can know the blessing of the Lord. I just thank you for being with us today and just give praise to the Lord for what he's doing in our lives. And we're going to just spend some time worshiping the Lord and giving thanks to God this morning. So I just want to thank you for listening to the word this morning, listening to the message. But I want to encourage you to stay with us for a while, because this is one of the things that how we show our love for God is that we love him. And the Bible says we should worship him and we should adore him and thank him for all that he's done. So we're going to spend some time singing to the Lord, worshiping the Lord, spending time in his presence, praying about some things. Just invite you to stay with us and to join in this conversation of worship between you and God, between us and our Creator, and just to bless the Lord. So I'll just give you a few minutes to prepare your heart to worship him and to thank the Lord that he is with us right now, ready to receive your praise. Amen. Just